Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer.
Only in America.
Randy Tobler.
Dreaming in red, white, and blue.
On News Talk STL.
Only in America, where we dream as big as we want to. We all get a chance.
Welcome to the last show of 2023. I'm Randy Tobler, along with Jerome. And we're recovering from late night partying that went on till just an hour ago, celebrating the Mizzou Tigers kicking some butt, finally, when they got it in gear in the Cotton Bowl. And a resounding victory, as it turned out. Jerome, how you doing? I know you were partying like I was till just an hour ago. Everything okay?
Everything is going fantastic. I'm looking forward to the show today.
Yeah, me too. We got a lot planned. We're going to talk with Carol Lieberman, America's psychiatrist, about the startling percentage of American young people that are pro. They think Osama bin Laden got it right. And the indoctrination of our children as it starts ever earlier. It's just amazing. She's America's psychiatrist and the terrorist therapist, and she's a forensic psychiatrist, so it'll be a lot of fun talking with her. Ilan Srulevich, who's an actor, about a transgender legal victory in a professional sports association. Virginia Crude will join us a little later as well. Eric Robert, our own Eric Robert, here you hear him on The Money right after this program. He'll be on to talk about the year past and some interesting tidbits and pearls for your finances. I actually wasn't aware of one or two of them that he previewed me on. So a lot of stuff there ahead of the whole show that you'll be able to hear after this program. And then Gerald Celente at 8:25. Now, Jerome, I have to warn you. We may need to run into Eric's show, Eric and Bob Stockdale on The Money. We may need to blow through the top of the hour segment, the news. Once you get Gerald Celente, who's founder of the Trends Research Journal, once you get him going about the calamity that he believes every year, we hear about the calamity that's going to beset America. he makes Mark Levin, in his most worked up moments, look docile as a lamb. But I love talking to Gerald. We usually talk to him once a year around this time. And so a very busy guy this time of year as we talk about predictions for the entire year. And I'm interested in what you're thinking, folks. 314-912-1019. What a year we have in store, I think, given this political landscape, the weaponization of the DOJ, a pivotal election. I know, Randy, you say that every time. No, this is really serious. I mean, we're on the precipice of losing our republic if we don't reel it back in. And that's not to make a particular endorsement of any candidate or, frankly, party at this point. I hope that this year the American people will speak out loudly that they're not happy with anything going on with centralization of government, tyranny in many of its forms, including the Justice Department, the regulatory apparatus, you know, that deep state, and so much more. Our educational system, our healthcare systems, a disaster. But this is the year for us to speak, and I'm anxious that we'll be bringing it to you as well. Maine decision, the Secretary of State there decides to unilaterally that Trump was an insurrectionist, just like an insurrectionist back in the Civil War era, and took him off the ballot. But before she keeps him on the ballot, pending the court's decision in that state. So lots of moments of truth concerning our electoral system by the party that wants to ruin democracy while they claim to be saving democracy. They just don't really want we the people to have a vote, do they? They'd rather pick the winner for us, and that's Joe Biden. And, you know, we're not going to have an opponent that is leading by leaps and bounds on the other side. We're going to determine who can run against Joe Biden because we need to determine that if Joe Biden has any kind of a chance, don't you know? So lots going on. Jerome, did you see the game last night? We have to talk about it. Did you happen to watch the game?
Unfortunately, I missed it, but I heard it was a really good game.
Yeah, well, the first half was sort of pokey. I mean, it was slow. It was like 3-0 at halftime in Ohio State and back and forth. More punts in this game than Joe Biden has gaffes in an afternoon. Is it tremendous? And here's the problem. You a football fan, Jerome?
Yeah, I used to play a little ball back in the day.
Really? Well, we'll have to talk about that. I tend to be a bit of a fair weather fan. I have to admit it. I mean, if the team, like, I'm having, I just can't, you know, I mean, what is the only team Missouri has left in professional football is Kansas City Chiefs, right? So a lot of, you know, people living in St. Louis, whether they're native St. Louisans, whether they're, in transplants, you're a transplant, right? From Chicago originally?
Yes, sir.
Chicago area, Joliet. You know, they may adopt the Chiefs. They may keep their hometown, team. But I've been trying to get after the Chiefs, you know, the Super Bowl victory and everything. Oh, especially with Taylor Swift. My God, how can you not be excited about that? Whatever. You can't. Once they start losing, they've been playing such mediocre ball. I just can't. So anyway, bit of a fair weather fan. But the Mizzou Tigers had a Cinderella season. And they took it to Ohio State. That great story about a Cinderella story, really, with the guy that I think was the leading rusher in the SEC, Cody Schaefer. Guy started, he took 2 years up at Truman State, which is really sort of the brainiac capital of the Midwest as far as liberal arts colleges. A lot of smart kids there, but I mean, you don't think of that as a, and it isn't, it's a Division II school, certainly as a sports powerhouse, but he put in a couple of years there. Was a walk-on in Missouri, and then the guy's tearing the league up, tearing the nation up in terms of his performance, and last night came through and had a couple of amazing runs. That and just the guy, one of these guys where you think he's down. He runs 2 or 3 yards, and there's this big scrum all around him. For those of you who don't know, the rugby scrum. And then he carries the pile with him for another 3 or 4 yards, just raw muscle, determination, power, grit. What other adjective can I use? I don't know. That's him. But and a couple of great passes with Brady Cook. So it was a great, great game. Now, Jerome, you said you used to you used to toss the ball around a little bit, or catch it, or block for it. What did you do in football?
I was both an offensive and defensive lineman. I know you probably haven't seen me in person yet, but I'm quite freakishly tall. So that kind of came in handy when I had to block people and do kick return.
Ah. Yeah, you look tall, but you don't look like your typical 350-pound, lineman. I mean, you look pretty like a husky, substantial dude, but not we haven't met in person, of course. How tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
Oh my goodness! Wow, you play basketball too?
When I was in grade school, but I didn't have the hand-eye coordination for that. I was a lot better at being physically aggressive than passing the ball and shooting it.
Yeah, well, good. When they come for my gun, I'll invite you to be at the house.
I'll have your back. Guns.
Okay, thank you. So, the more and more I really try to learn about inside football. I mean, I used to play at the Rams games in Bob Cuban's band when we played there a few years down there. And of course, I was there involved in some of the medical care of some of the team members, spouses and stuff, as an OB. But I'm telling you, when you start to really unpack a football game and you start to look at what makes a great team and what has made the legendary teams, as a lineman, you have to get frustrated that the linemen, especially on the offensive side of the ball, they don't get near the fanfare, near the credit, near the celebration that, the quarterback, the running back, because really, we saw it last night, Brady Cook had a very difficult time getting anything going in the first half and part into the third, deep into the third quarter, because they were coming in from everywhere. The O-line for the Tigers just wasn't cutting the mustard. But then, I don't know, I guess they changed some of their play call. My point is, if I was a running back, if I was Cody Schaefer, I'd be, yeah, he's a great running back. He did a great job. If I was Cody Schaefer, I'd be given the O-line guys like year-long credit debit cards to Ruth's Chris or Morton's Steak. You know what I mean? I'd be doing something great for my O-linemen, because without the O-line, how does a quarterback and running back are right there on the ground 3 yards behind their line of scrimmage, right? I'll take that as an affirmative, Jerome, because it sounds like you're a disgruntled lineman who didn't get enough credit when they were playing. I mean, that's where the game is won and lost. It's in the trenches, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And I mean, I know that, you know, we could say, well, you're biased about it, but I think it's really true. Last night there were a lot, but everyone has an important role on a team. That's why they call it a team sport. There's no doubt about it. But, so anyway, well, great 11-2 season for the Tigers. That's great. Good to see. And, here's a beef I have. If you're the parent of a kid who's going to be going to play for Mizzou, for University of Illinois, for anyone, and they're really a superstar, would you please remind them that, you know, they're really not any more special of a human being than anyone else, and they need to not believe what people say about them, especially these young kids are very, very impressionable. I have a real beef with the way one of the stars on the Ohio State Buckeyes, there's a guy's name, Harrison, or I think it was Harris, I don't know. The guy was standing on the sidelines. He opted out of the game, Jerome. Opted out of the game.
Wow.
The Cotton Bowl, national TV, important for his teammates, important for, you know, the brand of the school. He's on the sidelines. And I asked someone, and they said, well, what happens is these guys don't want to get injured. Oh, get some violin music there, Jerome. They don't want to get injured.
Oh,
and so,
boo-hoo.
You know, they're going to go to the NFL draft or in their portal or whatever. What do you think of that? I think that's scandalous.
Yeah, I mean, especially for my time, I played for nearly a decade. I didn't get to make it to the college league, unfortunately, due to an injury I had from a different sport. But it's a rough sport. I mean, if you don't want to get injured, that's understandable. But that's why you practice harder, you stretch harder, you work out, and you make sure that you know your technique so you don't get injured. That's where I stand on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you helped your team get there. Your team is not the same team without you. If you're one of the stars of the team, an important position player, you know, however you define that. They're all important, but I mean, if you're a pivotal part of the team and you're clearly a standout, that you're part of the difference that team is in the Cotton Bowl rather than in the toilet bowl or in the nacho bowl at home watching other people play in the bowl. You know what I mean? And I just think it's what a put down and what a punch in the gut for the other guys that are out there. You know, I don't know. They may end up, the other guys maybe end up being 10th, 12th, 13th round, whatever draft picks. And you're Mr. Big Man on campus. I'm going to be a first round. I don't want to get myself injured. I'm sorry. That just took you from a Titan, from a gladiator, from a warrior to a snowflake. I'm sorry. I think it's absolutely. And you know what? Okay. I'm sorry. Here it is. I'm going to get it on him. These guys can't have it both ways. These young men who are still developing in terms of their judgment, their responsibility, their, well, growing up, because, you know, the prefrontal cortex, that's the problem. That's why they're making the decisions. Prefrontal cortex, the judgment part of the brain, doesn't develop fully till 25 or 26 in men and women. My wife reminds me mine has yet to develop. That's another question. But, you know, so now they've got the best of both worlds. So you're a star, you're a great player. You can get this, what's it called? NIL, name, image, likeness, right? They're basically endorsement money. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pretty soon they'll be getting paid, you know, through a structure more legitimate structure. Okay. So on the one hand, you can get paid because you're a big man on campus, literally. And on the other hand, you don't have the responsibility to the team that got you to the dance, so to gave you, you know, that helped, you know, get the endorsement for the sneakers or the local restaurant or the local, you know, sports outlet, whatever. I'm sorry. I think if you opt out of the game, you should return. You should have to donate 3/4 of your NIL money. I don't know, maybe all. I'm sorry. And this portal stuff. Oh, I'm a big man on campus. I'm there for 3 years, and then or 2 years, and then my third year. Man, I'm pretty much a star. Yeah, I think I'll just transfer out. I'm sorry. We don't have teams anymore. It's like if you don't have a border, you don't have a country. If you don't have loyal players, you don't have a team. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. We'll talk about that at 6:45 a little more. We'll get your pitch on it, Jerome, and we'll get. We'll get the listeners to call in 314-912-1019. But in a minute, when we come back, Dr. Carol Lieberman to talk about some astounding trends in our youth and their perception for bad people, for evil people, for just horrendous behavior, but they think it's okay because it's anti-American. What a way to end the year, huh? But we got to do it. We just got to call it out the way it is. I'm Randy Tober. There's Jerome. We're the Tober Show on News Talk STL 101.9 94.1. Be right back. Dr. Carol Lieberman joins us now. Carol is a terrorist therapist, and she wants to comment. She commented a lot about and has written a lot about what's going on in America's youth. Here she is. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah. What am I missing here, Carol? Anyway, hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
All right. It's a little late for Hanukkah, but whatever.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, so a highly disturbing poll I saw on your Twitter, which is Dr. Carol MD, right? With an right. E on Carol. Says, right. This is frightening. Frightening. Almost a third of Gen Z voters think that Osama bin Laden was, like, okay. Like, a decent guy. Like, what's going on? What's going on here? I mean, I think his views were a force for good, right? I'm struggling with this. Can you explain this? I mean, you know terrorists inside and out.
Yes, this is really shocking. The poll has found that 41% of 18 to 29 year olds only 41% have a completely negative view of Osama bin Laden. The rest, you know, more than half have either anywhere from completely positive to mixed and so on. And then other numbers are shocking too. You know, it's 20% of young people, basically altogether, 20% of young people who believe in what he said and who think that his philosophy and all that is good. I mean, basically what it means is, well, it means a lot of things. It means that we are raising kids to become jihadists. I mean, that's the bottom line of what it means. And how we're doing this is by a few things. Schools, radical agendas in schools from kindergarten on up. We have Obama, who I call the terrorist sympathizer in chief. He has made this country. I mean, you know, he hardly hides it anymore. But he was made this country the most vulnerable to terrorism of any president. We have schools, Obama, and of course, you know, he controls Biden, so we have him as well. And they are just teaching the kids that, and really it's an anti-American. I mean, it all goes together with being anti-American, destroying America, because you know, recently on TikTok, oh, that was the other thing. The other part of it is that China influences young people through TikTok. And so recently, there was something on TikTok. One of the influencers posted Osama bin Laden's letter to America that he wrote in 2002, which is basically his rationalizations for why he attacked America, all the horrible things about America. And so, and when that happened, some other people, of course, it went viral, and some other people started saying the same thing. They became groupies of Osama bin Laden. And then that extended to some people on TikTok, and of course, then it goes to other social media too, converting to Islam, converting to radical Islam. And, you know, there are some videos, for example, of women saying, oh, I converted and I'm reading the Quran and it's really great. They obviously missed the parts or didn't get to the parts that talk about, you know, what men are able to do to women, you know, how they're able to kill them, be violent towards them, all of these kinds of things if they don't like what the women are doing. So this is a really huge problem, needless to say. And America is more in danger today of being taken over by terrorists, not just the radical Islamist terrorists, but the ones we have created in our madrasas. I mean, basically, our schools have become madrasas.
Well, and I was going to ask you that because, I mean, whether,
you know, whether it's this poll where some there's some sympathy with some philosophy of Bin Laden, and I don't know whether it's specifically asked about, you know, bringing down America in the way that they tried to do on 9/11, but generally, it seems like you say, this is a general, another chapter in the book of, hey, America's not perfect. The rest of the world's much better. America had slavery, and the rest of the world never did anything wrong. And so we need to destroy America, tear it all down, start over again, and do it like the rest of the world, which is delusional thinking. It's uneducated thinking. It's poor judgment. And I have another example. Did you see where Danica Patrick, the NASCAR driver, she was at a Turning Point USA event with her sister. She posted several photos of herself with her sister, and she said, and the text was, "Sister came to town to check out Turning Point USA with me. Dad replied to our pic with perfect daughters. We do love our country, so AM Fest, America Fest makes sense." Now, for that, we do love our country. She got scorched on social media. "I had no idea you were like that. That's disappointing. Oh, wow, this is super disappointing. For a moment, I thought this was satire, that she loved America. And then I became more and more horrified." Another one, "That does not represent America." I mean, one after another. Look, we can love the American ideal and the American experiment, but what, are we going to throw the baby out with the bathwater because of a few young skulls full of mush that are indoctrinated into some kind of globalism? I mean, they're going to bring this country down. By the way, they'll never find another country with more freedom than this country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've lived in France and in Paris and Belgium and England, and those countries, actually, I mean, they certainly have more freedoms than a lot of other countries, but those countries have been taken over by terrorists. You know, the mainstream media doesn't show what's going on in those countries, but they have allowed reckless migration, like what we're doing here. And there are so many migrants from radical Islamist countries that they're doing attacks every day. We don't hear about that. And they're, you know, really, they're raping women, and they're quoting the Quran, and they're, you know, saying, "Oh, we're doing this for Allah," and all of this. And, you know, these people don't know what Sharia law is, and don't know the terrorists decided 1,000 years ago that it's not just about destroying Israel and killing Jews. It's about global jihad. It's taking over the whole world. So these people who are marching in the street, you know, pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas and all that, they don't realize that Hamas, you know, is coming for them. All the terrorists are coming for them.
So
especially like LGBTQ plus, you know, if they were in any of these Middle Eastern countries, they'd be killed in a hot minute.
Well, let me ask you this. As a psychiatrist, and you know the minds of a terrorist, you know how terrorists work, you know how they build and consolidate their networks. Maybe you know how they gather lone wolf terrorists and abroad, like from Middle East, and they, you know, they convert people here. What signs should a parent with a student at University of Missouri or Washington University or University of Missouri, Kansas City, you know, you're talking to folks in Missouri, who many of whom have children, who are not yet fully developed in their prefrontal cortices because they're only 18, 19, 20. And what signs should a parent look for that their child may be being radicalized? I mean, is a protest for Hamas and saying, "Let's exterminate the Jews"? I mean, is that part of it? And then what can a parent do?
Yes.
What does a parent do, though, so you identify that, hey, something's going screwy with my kid. That's not the way I raised my kid. But then what can you do? Because I'm afraid if you come down on them the wrong way, that's just, they're going to dig their heels in, and that'll accelerate the process. So what's the magic potion here?
Well, yes, you know, in teenagers and even 20-year-olds and so on, or even Gen Z and so on, they do rebel. I mean, they do, like, they don't want to do what parents tell them to do. So yes, that's right. But first of all, the first thing is that parents need to be looking for this, not just in their college kids. but in their elementary school kids. This is down to pre-kindergarten now. And they need to pay attention to all of the books that their kids are reading and all of the homework assignments. And these, because teachers are so blatant about, you know, being pro-terrorist and anti-Israel and anti-Jew and all of that. In the literature that they give them, or the homework assignments, you know, there have been stories recently about teachers giving them homework assignments about the Holocaust, but not like in a good way, like, you know, this is a terrible thing and it's not supposed to ever happen again. Really strange, very, very twisted kinds of homework assignments. So parents need to start early. That's the first thing. Then they need to try to get their kids to talk to them about what they believe. And why do you believe that? And who said that? Where did you read this? You know, and they need to start correcting some of these things. For example, showing their kids a globe and showing them how small Israel is compared to all the countries around them, all their enemies. You know, and then tell them about the things that Israel did, even though their country is on a desert too, but all the things that they did with agriculture, with Nobel Prizes, with inventing things that they use, you know, like technical things that they like to use. And I've written a book called Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, How to Protect Your Child in a Time of Terror. And that book, it came out in 2017, won all kinds of awards, but it has never been more relevant than now because of everything that is happening in our country. And in the book, the first half of it is for parents and teachers, grown-ups, how to talk to kids about terrorism, things that you can do with them from the time that they're young to whatever age, you know, bringing them to certain museums and so on, bringing them, you know, certain books that they can read and just different activities. And then also doing things like with their young kids, having them draw how they're feeling. Like if they watch a news report about the terrorists attacking in Israel, you know, draw how you're feeling right now. That kind of thing. If the key thing is to get kids to express their feelings about whatever it is that's going on, not to stuff them down. And then, of course, you know, as the kids get older, you can have more sophisticated or more, you know, in-depth kinds of conversations. But you need to sort of, where did you learn this? Where did you get this idea that Jews are devils, for example, or that they're running the world, or, you know, where's all, who told you all this? And then, and show them movies, you know, like I say, it was 9/11, show the movies like Flight 93. Well, with these kinds of things, there are lots of movies that deal with anti-Semitism and movies just about Israel and all the things that they have accomplished. You know, it's really, it comes down, their teachers teach them things like it's the oppressed versus the oppressor. And if you're not claiming to be oppressed, you know, if you don't have as much money or as much education or as much, you know, things, good things in your life, then you are angry, you're jealous, and you direct anger towards the people who you think do have this. Now, Jews are particularly emphasized, particularly education for their kids from the time that they're, you know, that they can talk. And so, yes, of course, there are many Jewish people who go to school for a long time and have, or not only professional degrees, but like even successful in business or something because they work hard at it. And yes, you know, but so instead of being jealous and angry, it's that should be a model. But the key thing is finding out about the teachers. I think all teachers who teach these kinds of things should be fired. Certainly just, you know, with the best example of being the president of Harvard, who should have been fired a long time ago for a number of things. But it's not just Harvard. It's in other schools, too.
All right. So it's a systemic problem at this point, and it needs to be addressed early. Needs to be addressed judiciously by parents. And Dr. Carol Lieberman has a lot of answers in the book, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My. That's featured, I see, on terroristtherapist.com, which is one of a couple of websites you have. Another one's drcarol.com. And you can stay in touch with her at Dr. Carol, Dr. Carol, with an E at the end of Carol, MD, on X, formerly Twitter. Hey, thanks for being with me. I think this is really important information for parents to hear.
Well, there she is, Carol Lieberman. Super job of unpacking the threat to our children as they undergo the indoctrination by the crazy left. Hey, when we come back, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to ask that question. Do you think these athletes should be able to continue to get money from endorsements and maybe in the very near future pay, and at the same time opt out of important postseason bowl games? I don't know. I got a problem with it. Do you? And we have to talk about the migrant surge that threatens to ruin this country's sovereignty, our economy. Well, the very thread of our fabric that makes us America. Along with Jerome, I'm Randy Tobler. The number's 314-912-1019 here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Thanks for being here. Back in a minute. If you're just joining us, we were talking about the great Mizzou victory over Ohio State. So number 9 beats number 7 last evening. We were reminiscing. My wife was part of marching Mizzou back in the September of 76. One of the greatest Mizzou victories ever when the backup quarterback was able to toss a pass right in the last few seconds, and then a two-point conversion. They beat Ohio State. It was amazing. She didn't even know what she was a part of then, because she's not a football fan, and the crowd was going crazy. I mean, everyone on the Mizzou side going crazy during that regular season game back then. But now she got into it last night, because obviously, you know, having that history in her pocket was great. So, Jerome, we were talking earlier about these athletes that one of the problems with Ohio State last night, one of their great athletes, I forget if it's wide receiver or runner, I think wide receiver, decided to opt out of playing the bowl game. And what I've heard is that's because they don't want to get injured so that it hurts their chances for NFL, blah, blah, blah. But yet, on the other hand, they're making lots of money off these endorsements. I don't think you should be able to have it both ways. What say you?
No, I agree. I think it's rational to want to avoid getting injured. I don't think anybody wants to be injured. But when you're playing a contact sport and your job is to run the ball, you know, your team needs you. You have to think about the entire unit as a whole and not just, you know, your own anxiety or insecurity. And if you're training hard enough and you're practicing well, you shouldn't have that fear to begin with.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I don't know. Forgive me for taking it to the big picture, but I think it's just another page out of this growing and ever thicker book of it's all about me. I really don't care about the team. I really don't care about, you know, you. If what I do, if it's, you know, if it hurts you a little bit, that's okay, because it's really important to me. You know, whatever, and, you know, I just think we need a lot of ophthalmologists. I've said it a lot, and I'll continue to say it. We need a lot of ophthalmologists in America, because America has a problem with eye disease. There's nothing wrong with, of course, achievement and self-esteem because you've achieved something. And there's nothing wrong with that. A healthy ego is a good thing. But to think that you do anything really in this world by yourself, and not to acknowledge that, and to have some allegiance, especially in a fully team sport, like you said, you know, contact sport, even if it's basketball, if it's anything. Now, on the other hand, I learned during the break that you're a championship wrestler. I didn't know that. Now, that... I guess that's probably one of the most individualistic sports, along with boxing, that you could have, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you win, it's all about you. And if you lose, it's also all about you.
Yeah. Something exciting and accountability-wise, that's very pure and clean, right? That's a good thing. But if you're a great wrestler, I bet you give some credit to your coaches and your trainers, right? I mean, it's never totally about you. If you're Steve Jobs, it's not about you. Bill Gates, it's not just about you. You know, there's always people helping you one way or another. Yeah. All right. Well, we need some help down at the border. Here's a Fox News report, clip 7, on the disaster that really shaped a lot of the reporting and is probably near the top of my story list for 2023, the year that ends tomorrow. Take a listen.
In Eagle Pass, Texas, they processed 10,000 migrants there over the weekend, many from Central America, who see their journey as an escape, not from persecution, but poverty. So what's not helping? Well, images beamed around the world of an open border. Migrants taking selfies, encouraging others from West Africa, China, South America to follow their lead. And this caravan that did leave the Mexico-Guatemala border a few days ago is getting larger than 6,000, Brad. It's now over 7, I am told, now headed to the U.S.
That's Fox's William Lajeunesse. I mean, this thing is a disaster. We now probably, since Joe Biden has come in, we probably have another, what, 2-3 million people come in, and we don't know about those who didn't come in. But it gets worse, and I think that when you listen to Democrats, even frustrated Democrats in large city jurisdictions, you understand the pathology, the sickness, the absolute depravity of rational thinking that goes on in the mind of the Democrat progressive mind. And that's my exhibit A is a Chicago alderman who is bemoaning the fact, as you've heard the mayor in Chicago, the mayor in New York City, the mayor in Los Angeles, you hear the mayor's whining, you know, oh, we can't handle it. Well, you wanted to be a sanctuary city, bring them on in. It was good to get elected. You know, that rhetoric was good. But when the rubber meets the road, and you have to be accountable for your comments and for your policies, not so much. Then it's someone else's problem, right? But listen carefully to what this Democrat alderman, he's angry. He says, you know, we have a problem here. But listen to the problem. This describes the Democrat mentality that will bring down this nation. Here it is.
Here they plan to stay here. They'd like to have permanent housing. They need to support themselves. They need the ability to get temporary work visas. You know, that's something that the federal government has to get out of the way for the people that are here and want a, you know, a traditional path to a better life that so many people in generations past came to America seeking. That would be the first step. The other step is an assistance in providing permanent housing for them. We have people living in bus terminals at O'Hare Airport right now. We had 8,000 people living in the lobbies of police stations. We have tents, which won't work, by the way, for a climate like Chicago. If you lived your whole life in Venezuela, you're in for a shock if you think you can live in a tent in January in Chicago. And we have people that seem poised on the brink of having to do that. We need assistance to get them into permanent housing and permanent jobs if they're going to stay here.
Yeah, we see people arriving and they don't even have proper winter coats. And that is just not even.
Okay. Now, look. I'm sorry, but this is absolutely untenable. First of all, unpack this. Teach your children now. There's some kind of an old folk song, but I digress. Teach your children carefully to listen to every word, unpack it. In the good old days, we had to take sentences apart and we had to decide, here's the verb, here's the noun, here's the subject, here's the object, here's the adverb, here's the adjective. Diagram and take apart these sentences of these politicians. He said, we need to provide permanent housing. We need to provide, who's the we? Alderman, Democrat, Kamala, borders are, yeah, right, that's laughable. Joe, we need, who's we? I don't think I'm included in that. Sorry, guys. I'm not obligated to provide. And here we go. So we provide permanent housing. Wow. Interesting. Jerome, I don't know if you're renting or if you're looking for a house or those of you who have to, because AI took your job and it's going to get worse. We're going to talk with Gerald Celente about that later. If you have to move, how's that working out for you? Or if you need to rent, how's that working out for you? Okay, so we're going to provide permanent housing through increased taxes or debt for if you live in Chicago. Okay, what are you going to do? Now suddenly they're going to raise your taxes so that you can provide permanent housing for these illegal aliens. They are not migrants. They're illegal aliens. We're going to do that. And oh, by the way, let's make sure they have permanent. It's like, let's make sure they have permanent jobs too. Permanent jobs. They got to have jobs. And then after that, and then the anchor says, well, they don't even have coats. Well, I'm sorry. There's a simple solution to this. It's called deportation. Round them up. You know where they are. They're living in tents. They're living in schools. They're living in hotels.
Sorry, you made a choice to come here and break America's laws. And if you broke America's laws, we have a one-way ticket back to wherever you came from. When are we out, Jerome? I'm going to go late here and get us in trouble.
Yeah, we've got about another minute.
Got a minute?
I'm enjoying your rants, though.
I'm sorry. America's debt is going to crush us. It's going to crush us. Our personal debt is now past $1 trillion, credit card debt, past $1 trillion. And we just keep taking on water in this sinking ship. There's nothing wrong with a person, a friend, a family, a community, a Lions Club, a Rotary Club, a church, a synagogue, yes, even a mosque, giving someone a hand up temporarily while they need. But we've developed this social welfare state now that can't even handle our own people. By the way, a Center for Immigration Studies report, we talked about it a week ago. 39% of Americans get at least one major welfare program. And what's the number for the immigrants? 40%, 50%, no, 55%, 60%. You got to shut the door. You got to close the perimeter. Don't let these people in. And if they get in, I'm sorry, send them back. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Ilan Srulevich. We do have some good news, though, by the way. The markets are up. Okay, so that's good. Okay, there's good. It's not all death and doom and destruction. It really isn't. But we've got to get a grip on this country and our sovereignty. And we just can't let people come in willy-nilly and just take advantage of us and our programs just because they want to. Ilan Srulevich is going to join us talking about the Professional Disc Golf Association. What does that have to do to transgender? Stay tuned. You'll hear.